is my privilege once again to be here, and I'm so thankful that God has given me opportunity to be here again. It always does my heart good. You know, we have a lot of things to be thankful for this Christmas. And I know that Cyber Saturday, and then we have Black Friday, and then we have all these other sales and all this stuff going on. Coupons galore. But you know what? I'd like to talk about the greatest gift of all today. The Apostle Paul probably had as good a grasp of the implications of Jesus' death and resurrection as anybody who ever lived. Of course, the apostles, Peter, James, John, and Nathaniel, and all the rest of them, they understood, especially after the resurrection, they understood what it was all about. But Paul had a way of putting it, because he was, after all, he was educated as a Pharisee. And that means that he had probably the best theological education of his day. And I qualify that by saying that he was educated in the scriptures. He was educated in the knowledge of the one true God, the God who sent his son into this world to pay the price for our sins. And in Galatians, he writes a remarkable letter to churches that had sort of drifted away. They have, and we have a tendency to do that. People have a tendency to do that. Excuse me, let me strike that. People have a tendency to do that. I don't know what you're doing. I have no idea. And then again, you don't know what I'm doing either. But we have a tendency to sort of merge in and blend in with our communities a lot of times and get involved in things that we ought not be involved in, because this is not what Christians are called to do. We are called to glorify God. We're called to glorify Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. And we are called to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we do that by completely surrendering ourselves to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, do with me as you will. And this is what is behind Paul's statement here in Galatians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. Paul wrote, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. That is really a very definitive thing. It has nothing to do with who we are. It has everything to do with who Jesus is. And Paul, as you read in Acts, where Paul is met on the road to Damascus by the Lord Jesus, and the light blinds him. He has, as I like to tell people, he got a really bad dose of welder's flash. Now, I have had dry eyes on occasion, but I knew enough. People had warned me enough about welding and how to make sure that I don't let the arc rays get to my eyes, because the ultraviolet light will really fry your eyeballs. And when you see in Acts, it says something like scales fell off of Paul's eyes, Well, that just about describes what happens when Walter's flash happens, and all of a sudden, you know, it's basically sunburned eyeballs. And finally, the scales fell off. Of course, it was God's timing. But that stuff hurts. Grown men have cried because their eyes were hurting so bad. And that light was so blinding that it struck Paul down. And Jesus said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And Paul said, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Now, what was Paul doing? Paul was, if you remember, Paul was going around and with arrest warrants from the Sanhedrin to lock up our brothers and sisters in Christ. And they are our brothers and sisters in Christ, all of them. And Jesus took it personal. And that's the big thing that we need to remember. Jesus took it personal. So should we. So should we. He says, "The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God." Isn't that how it should be for us? Because you see, apart from what Jesus did for us, we have no hope of entering into the kingdom of heaven. We have no hope of receiving eternal life after we pass from this world. And Paul comes, the summary statement here, he says, "I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing." If I could make myself a bit better, if you could make yourself a bit better and keep all the commandments and all of that, then it was a waste of time for Jesus to go to the cross. He suffered all that agony and misery for nothing. But the thing about it is not only Paul, but Peter and others of the apostles made clear, we can't possibly get it right all the time. And that was what was required. And when Jesus was crucified and died on the cross, it was wrong. And we know that. It was wrong. But he had the devil had no business putting him to death on the cross because Jesus never sinned. And that was why Adam and Eve died, because they sinned. And when Jesus died on the cross, sin, death, and the devil broke the rule. They broke the rules. Because Jesus ought not have died. And that's what breaks the power, the blood of Christ. When Jesus went into the heavenly holy of holies, he told Mary Magdalene, he says, Don't hold on to me. I've got places to go. I've got to get up there. I've got to complete this transaction." I'm so glad he did. You see, Jesus had to die so that he could break the power of death. And you read in Revelation, he says, "I have the keys of death and hell." That implies ownership and that implies control. And once he offered his blood on the Holy of Holies in heaven, once he did that, then that means that his death was legitimate, because the life is in the blood, as God makes clear. And when Jesus did that, it was innocent blood. Death, hell, and the devil broke the rules. And more important, Jesus washed each of us and through the power of his blood, he made each of us clean in the sight of God. We make mistakes, we know that. But we are preserved by the blood of Christ. the power of the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me and you white as snow. No other fount I know, no other source of salvation. I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings, but forget Allah. We have Jesus. Amen. We have Jesus. And that's the thing Paul is saying. There was no sense in Jesus going to the cross if it was possible for us to be good enough, but it was impossible for us to be good enough. It started in the beginning when Adam and Eve chose to ignore God's commands and eat the fruit of the knowledge from tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This brought sin and death into the world. But because God so loved Adam and Eve, he provided for their redemption and ours too. In Genesis 3:15, we read, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." In doing this, God was both gracious and merciful. Years ago, I heard it said, when God is gracious towards us, he gives us what we do not deserve. That's grace, giving us what we do not deserve. And mercy, when he gives us mercy, he does not give us what we deserve. You know, it's kind of like you have a grandchild, or maybe even a great-grandchild, or maybe when your children were smaller and they did something, and they knew they were wrong, and you grabbed them, and you were going to get them a good warm bottom. But all of a sudden, there was that look in the eyes, and you say, "I can't do this." Now, there needs to be punishment. You cannot let bad behavior. You cannot not deal with bad behavior. How's that one? It has to be dealt with. God dealt with it. God dealt with it. And he was merciful when he did so, because he didn't give us what we deserved, and that's death. The Apostle Paul puts it this way, "But now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." That's from Romans chapter 6, verses 22-23. This is a free gift that we dare not reject. In truth, it is the greatest gift we could ever be given, the gift of Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. There is no greater gift. There could be no greater gift. Because we have all of us, each of us, been set free when we trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. When we do like it says in Revelation, when we open the door of our heart and invite Jesus to come in. The big problem I have with Christmas in the United States of America, and indeed the world, the commercialization of Christmas, it takes the focus entirely off of what the greatest gift of all is and why we celebrate Christmas. Because Christmas is all about God giving all of us the greatest gift we could ever receive. No greater gift could we receive. All the commercials, all the advertisements, all the gift giving. I mean, it's nice. It's nice to receive gifts. It is. It's nice to receive gifts. But we can't lose sight of what Christmas is really all about. And it's so easy. You get blasted, like I say, you get blasted with Black Friday, Cyber Saturday, or whatever other kind of gimmicks and sales pitches they come up with. And it's not in and of itself. That's not sin. But when our focus is on that, we lose sight of the fact that God gave us the greatest gift of all that night when Jesus was born of Mary. The agony that Jesus endured tells us just how serious God is about our redemption. Because in truth, yes, Jesus suffered the agony, but the Father had, as at one point in time, Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because when God put his sin on his son, for the briefest moment in all of eternity, God had to look away, and Jesus knew it immediately. He knew it immediately. And then it was finished. And then it was finished. And the gift was given. But the gift must be received. How many times you see a gift that was under the Christmas tree, and it was kind of forgotten because things were going on, or there was some other bigger gift somewhere else, or some whatever kind of electronic gadget or computerized gadget, whatever it might be, that got somebody else's attention, drew their attention away from a envelope that was in there at the bottom of the tree. And then after Christmas was all over, and they go to clean up the decorations and stuff like that, they see this envelope, and in that envelope was a gift certificate for $500. And that's what happens. That's what happens. We get so caught up, and we should be. We should be with family. We should celebrate. We should have the Christmas dinners. We should do all these things. But most of all, we should love one another. I had the privilege, I'll say. Everybody knows A Christmas Carol written by Charles Dickens. And every year, it's kind of like It's a Wonderful Life. Every year, they always bring that out. Well, I had the privilege of watching It's a Wonderful Life and George C. Scott portrayed Scrooge, did a nice job. And it brings it all home again when you see something like that. It brings it all home again. How we can get focused on things that have no eternal value. And instead, and we neglect the things that are important all around. If you have a chance, watch the movie. I won't spend a whole lot of time talking about that. Let's get ready. It's time for the Lord's Supper. It's time to open a gift. Amen. It's time to remember that we've been given that gift. And honestly, I really enjoyed the movie, but most of all, I enjoyed the fact that the way they portrayed it, Scrooge finally got to understand what he had been missing out of for all those years. For all those years, how he had turned his face from what was really important, and they brought that out in the movie. They did a wonderful job of doing it. Scrooge missed what was really important, and in the process, he was the real loser in the whole thing. Yes, he had all that money. But money is no good unless you put it into action, do something with it. Just sitting there on a heap of gold doesn't accomplish a daggone thing. But it's what you do with the gifts God has given you, the opportunities God has given you. And I do pray that we will kind of just step back this year and take stock of the blessings that God has given us. And we will focus on what's really important. What's really important. Loving other people. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the second most important commandment, Jesus said. First one being, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if you do that, you have to love your neighbor as yourself, because that's how God loves us. And we need to share that love this Christmas season. God gave us the greatest gift of all that first Christmas night. Be sure and open the gift. Open your heart to Jesus and let Jesus come all the way in, because that's where he wants to be most of all, in your heart. Let us pray. Most Holy Father in heaven, we're so thankful that you have mercy on us. We're so thankful that you are so gracious to us, that you've given us this incredible gift of grace, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Lord, help us to open the gift and help us to receive it and help us to live it. Lord, please forgive us and help us to forgive as you forgive us. In the precious name of Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.